My guest at this time is independent journalist Doug Wissing, who has embedded many times with our troops in Afghanistan. He is also the author of a brand new book entitled Funding the Enemy, How U.S. Taxpayers Bankroll the Taliban. And Doug, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Greg.
Well, that's certainly a title that's going to make most of our listeners' stomachs turn, I'm sure. The idea that after all this blood and treasure that we're actually helping the enemy stay afloat here. When you talk about, in the book, the rampant corruption that goes on with the Afghan, quote-unquote, allies that we have and so forth, a lot of people are probably not going to be too surprised, but getting a lot of these resources into the hands of our enemies is not going to be necessarily something they've heard a lot about before. You talk about in the book how this is part of a extension of our very vague idea of winning over the hearts and minds. So has this been going on for over a decade now, or has it changed a little bit once we came closer to the notion of there being Taliban we could deal with?
Well, I think the roots of it go back to almost the very beginning, when we allied with Afghan opium lords, the warlords that we basically enlisted to fight the Taliban and fight Al Qaeda. You know, we outsourced that war, as it has been certainly documented. And I think the roots go back to there. We then empowered those same drug lords and reignited the opium trade in Afghanistan, which the Taliban had banned in the last year or so that they were in power. So with that rise of the opium economy in Afghanistan, where it became a narco state, of course, 90% of the world's illegal opium comes out of Afghanistan now. That really started the culture of corruption. And then at some point, we decided we were going to win the hearts and minds of Afghanistan, of Afghans, with these development programs that were scandalously mismanaged. And actually, when I was out in Afghanistan, the U.S. soldiers began to tell me that the United States government is wasting tens of billions of dollars of taxpayer money each year on scandalously mismanaged aid and logistics contracts. And they began explaining to me, the soldiers did, that there's a toxic system that's connecting distracted American officials, private U.S. corporations, corrupt Afghan insiders, and the Taliban. We'd be riding around in Taliban country in these massive armored vehicles, and they'd be telling me, we're funding our own enemy. We're financing both sides of this war. And it has gotten so routinized, so systematized, that there are now Taliban business offices in Kabul and in Kandahar, where if you're an Afghan, you get a U.S. contract, you're going to head over to the business office where you negotiate with the Taliban engineer about their take. And it happens on the big projects, road contracts. It happens on tiny little hearts and minds projects, and it's just an endemic system.
More direct or indirect? It sounds like there's so many fingers in the pie here that a lot of this might not necessarily be events we're aware of, because we hand the money off to somebody who we probably shouldn't, but eventually it gets passed down through the chain to people that we certainly don't want to have it. So how much of this is known, and how much of this is generally unknown?
Well, it's pretty well known out in Afghanistan. And certainly by 2009, the U.S. government began to realize that they had to address the issue. Up to that, people were pretty sanguine about it, that the Taliban got a cut of the money that we were pushing in there. I talked to one intelligence officer out in a province called Laghman Province, which is another embattled province along the Pakistani border, and he said, He had been a drug cop in Las Vegas before he was rotated over into Afghanistan. And he, a lot of soldiers, he was speaking for the way a lot of soldiers talk about it. They say, you know, the Taliban and the Afghan government, and they're sort of like the mafia. Everybody gets their cut. This guy told me, his name is Captain Douglas Seymour. He said, the military, they get all these combat commands and combat patches. He said, I get all these cool equipment. And this is a quote. I started back when the Russians were the enemy. I never got all this cool equipment. The military-industrial complex, they're all making money. And he was pointing around at all this stuff, this grotesquely overpriced stuff that the military-industrial complex is building. He said, the government here, they're like the mafia. They're always getting their cut. The Taliban gets their cut. It's the perfect war. Everybody makes money.
We're talking with Doug Wissing. The book is Funding the Enemy, How U.S. Taxpayers Bankroll the Taliban. You mentioned, Doug, that finally this got addressed in 2009. How was it addressed, and has it made any difference?
Well, those are great questions. The United States government started setting up various task forces and cells. There's something called the Afghan Threat Finance Cell. Threat finance is a term that is used to describe how does the enemy get their money? How do they finance their operations? And they looked at a lot of sources. One of the concepts for a long time had been they were financing it from opium and from donations from the Gulf states and the Arab states. And I don't think anybody really wanted to talk about the fact that a lot of their operations were being funded by extorting money from our logistics and development contracts. And finally, in 2009, some stories started breaking, and the military and the government had to acknowledge this was a problem. So you had the Afghan Threat Finance Cell set up. You had a task force that was called Task Force 2010, which is still operating. USAID that has been a really overwhelmed U.S. agency that handles development money and foreign aid. They were horribly undermanned out there, and so lots of money leached out of their contracts. They set up very belatedly some cells and task forces, and that really hasn't done much. The Afghan Threat Finance Cell is focused on certain kinds of things like the banking scandals and whatnot. But in general, from my perspective and from the research that I've done, the interviews I've done, it's not being really addressed very much. There's various kinds of vetting procedures that have been put in place, but it's, I think, just trying to melt the top of the iceberg, to be honest.
Is the Afghan culture with the corruption in the government, the warlord system and all that, is it just a system that is impossible to avoid this type of corruption?
By most accounts, and you have to understand, I've interviewed hundreds of people. I have been through a giant mountain of government documents, and all this is in government documents, think tank reports. There's 85 pages of end notes in the book, Funding the Enemy. And I can tell you what the soldiers tell me. They're getting pretty cynical out there. People understand. There, one Marine officer, a colonel in southern Afghanistan, told me not too long ago. He said, among the Marines in Afghanistan, there's low morale. They say, this is such a waste of time. This is a drug and tribal war with the Pakistani and Iranian intelligence services involved. And he went on to say, on an operational level, the soldiers are saying, I'm going to go over there and try and not get my legs blown off. My nation will shut this down. That's the feeling of my fellow soldiers. And he said to me, the juice ain't worth the squeeze. And really what troops, development officers, lots of people on the ground are telling me is that the only way to end this excessive government waste is to get out of Afghanistan. The toxic system is just too deeply rooted.
So between the toxicity and the almost complete lack of respect, it sounds like, that our troops have for the Afghan security forces, when and if we do leave, there's not much reason for optimism. Was that an accurate assessment?
I that seems to be the growing consensus that I'm hearing.
Obviously not a lot of reason for optimism, certainly after so many years of being there. This is just one more area of concern. Doug, thank you very much for your time and all the work you've put into this, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Doug Wissing is a longtime independent journalist. He's been embedded many times with U.S. forces in Afghanistan. His brand new book is Funding the Enemy, How U.S. Taxpayers Bankroll the Taliban. You can learn much more about his research into this troubling issue at his website, douglaswissing.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.